Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I want us to discuss the subject, why we do not see the Bible alike. And it's going to take two lessons to cover the material. But the very first point I want to make in this discussion is that our title is somewhat misleading. It assumes and it asserts something that's not altogether accurate. It seems to imply that people can actually see the Bible differently, and it appears to contend that nobody sees it alike. Well, neither position is expressive of reality. There are people who do see the Bible alike, so I gather that we can do it. In fact, early in our discussion, we want to make the contention that if and when people see the Bible at all, they will see it alike. To say that people cannot see the Bible alike is an indictment against God, and that is untenable. And we shall discuss this matter further. But suffice it to say here that God has communicated with man through the words of his choosing from man's vocabularies. He has not, and is not, created the confusion nor the author of confusion. To suggest that we cannot see the Bible alike is to suggest that God has given us a communication which calls for us to be united, but at the same time a communication that prevents us from being united. What kind of charge is that to make against God? Is that not to shift the blame from men to God for the confusion and division and the chaos that exists in the religious world? We should be more thoughtful before we jump to such irrational conclusions. Another indictment against God with such a position suggests that God either could not or would not give us His Word in such fashion that we could comply with what it demands. Who could have respect for such a God as that if that were really the case? Was God unable to reveal His mind to man? And even as we read of the power of God, was He too inadequate to be able to tell us what He wants us to know and to do? Again, we should be more careful than to suggest such things against God. We hear some of the so-called wise men today telling us that we really cannot understand what God has told us because God had to tell us what He wanted through what they call man talk, meaning man's language. It is contended that man's language is not adequate to convey the spiritual thoughts of God. Therefore, God simply did the best that He could with what He had, but we really cannot be sure He actually told us what He wanted to tell us because He had to use man talk. And then they further suggest that if God could have communicated to us like the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit communicate with each other, with what they call God talk, then we could be more confident in our Bibles than we presently can be. Now, just where these wise men learned all of this stuff about man talk, God talk, that doctrine, where it came from, is yet to be revealed. It seems that these men of self-proclaimed wisdom think that they can adequately communicate their thoughts from mind to mind with man talk, but somehow God just was not able to do as well as they can do. All of that is nothing more than a transparent attempt to justify division and promote what they call the doctrine of unity in diversity and place the responsibility for all the diversity and confusion on the shoulders of God because His communication to man just couldn't cut it. They're just simply trying to destroy confidence in the reliability and the credibility of the Bible. Friend, let us see it for what it really is. It is nothing less than a denial of the inspiration of the Scripture and a dismissal of what Paul spoke, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. It denies the infallibility, the inerrancy, the all-sufficiency and the authority of the Word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, notwithstanding. I suggest we need to have respect for the Word of God that the Bible, as it is relevant and applicable and essential to man just as he is. And unless we have this conviction about the revealed truth, there is nothing whatever on which we can depend in matters of religion. If the Bible is not an adequate communication from God, why was it ever given? Since it claims to be adequate, and if it is not, where else are we misled by it? Can we have confidence in anything that it tells us? There has risen, even in the ranks of some brethren, this agnostic doctrine that we just cannot know the truth for sure. Well, they are some years behind time because denominational false teachers have been wailing that pitiable moan years on end. Of course, those who so contend are very sure that what they say about this is true. It seems that some must have adopted the concept that they can be sure that we cannot be sure, but nobody else can be sure about anything. Why we ought to listen to such people as that has yet been explained to me. I may not know who they think they are, but I know what they are. The Lord teaches that we can know the truth. If you'll look at John 8 and verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ephesians chapter 3 teaches us that we can know what the will of God is. Over and over the Bible teaches us to measure, whereby we can know what the truth is. How many passages does one need before he can see the fallacy of the idea that we can't really know what truth is? Not only can we know the truth, friend, we can be united. Agreeing to disagree, that's not unity. That's really heresy. You can get that kind of foolishness among Unitarians. I really do not see why some of our more enlightened and liberal and scholarly brethren are not more consistent and just join the Unitarians rather than continue to create havoc among brethren. Some have the same doctrines as the Unitarians. It's unnecessary to duplicate the insidious philosophy at such expenses that they are making to simply promote what Unitarians have been promoting all along. Indeed, they must have other motives. Maybe to feed their own belly, as the Apostle Paul suggests. As we go further into our study, let us set aside these false doctrines that we cannot see the Bible alike, that God was unable to communicate adequately with the mind of man, that division is really the fault of God, or that we have an irrelevant document in the Bible that demands and yet prohibits what it demands at the same time. We readily acknowledge that many read the words written on the pages of the Bible and then announce different conclusions. But there must be a reason for that. There may be several reasons for that, and we certainly think there are, and we shall now explore some of them. But before that, however, there are a few basic fundamentals that we must recognize. First, there is one faith, Ephesians 4 and verse 5. Now some say we just interpret the Bible differently. Friend, that is to confuse the meaning of the word interpret. When we interpret something, we get the meaning of it. We get the meaning. We do not give it a meaning. To say that we can take God's word and get different meanings is to say that God is the instigator of our division. Again, this places the blame on God. And secondly, His word has not changed. The truth has been delivered once for all. The word of God endureth forever. Passage after passage shows that the word will not change. It's not subject to change. We hear some today clamoring to change everything, speaking their lies that they only want to change from what they call traditions. But when you listen to them very long, it's obvious that they want everybody to change their attitude toward the Bible, to change the divine side of the church, to change the plan of salvation, to change the way of worship, to change the distinction between right and wrong. In other words, to change everything to suit man and to accommodate sin, to appeal to the baby boomers and drag God and His people into the century of which we are part. That's the doctrine of these so-called new lights that have arisen even among us. But God's word needs no updating or revising or editing or any such thing. Not only is it not needed, the Bible expressly forbids it. And third, man is the same. He has the same needs, especially the spiritual needs, and God offers the same solutions. The Word, as it is what man needs as he is. And a fourth thing we need to understand. The cause for people reading the Word of God and then adopting different conclusions is not because they interpret differently. It is because some interpret, get the meaning of it, and others misinterpret, or possibly all misinterpret, but in different ways. But when you interpret the Bible and I interpret the Bible, get the meaning of it, we will be alike. Jesus once said to some who were accusing inconsistency in his teaching, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God." Matthew 22 and verse 29. As Paul said, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Romans 10 and verse 2. That people believed and acted from ignorance is an oft-repeated theme in Scripture. And I must rely on the reader to be sufficiently interested in this subject to look up the passages of the Bible to study them and to see. Ignorance plays a great part in the differences that people hold in matters religious. Ephesians 4:17 through 19 summarizes this point adequately. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." And just here is a good place to warn us that some of our Bible classes and these young people's seminars, where they come together to share experiences, they conduct sessions on problem solving, God does not get a word in anywhere. You get a lot of this, "I think, I feel, I believe," and then some advice from some psychology so-called expert that does not even believe in God. What they are really sharing is ignorance, the main cause for concluding different ideas. And some are ignorant because they have never really studied. Now, when we speak of such ignorance, we have no reference to intelligence. All of us are ignorant in so many things, not because we could not know and could not understand, but because we've never studied in that field. This is by far the largest number of people who do not see the Bible alike. They simply have not studied. We wonder how people who are ignorant of the biblical message could expect to see it in agreement. But some have studied, and they're still divided. One group has accepted a misunderstanding and is content with what they have concluded, unwilling to investigate their position, somewhat like the adage that says, "My mind is made up, don't confuse me with the facts." Such folks are not very teachable because their eyes they have closed, their ears are stopped, and their heart is hard. Still others have studied and do not understand, but they're still teachable. They're not hard ground upon which the seed falls. They are of good and honest heart, willing to consider what they have not yet considered, wanting to grow and come to a knowledge of the truth. Much of the honest confusion comes from the failure to rightly divide the word of truth, or handle it aright with respect to the dispensations, the three ages revealed in Scripture, the patriarchal, the Mosaic, and the Christian age. Many matters of division dissolve once we understand these three dispensations. And possibly we cannot assign just one reason more dominant than others as to why people do not see the Bible alike. But surely one reason people come to the Bible and leave in different directions is because of the failure to reason correctly. Now, while there are some who speak disparagingly of reasoning and the use of logic, they use it when attempting to sustain their contempt for it. This is another case where some shoot themselves in the foot due to their gross inconsistency. We're not going here into the process of reasoning with any depth, but only to mention this ought to be considered. Faulty reasoning, using invalid arguments, having a mistaken concept of faith, like it's a leap in the dark rather than conviction based on evidence, accepting contradictions as if both are true, refusing to consider the text, unable to infer conclusions that are implied by explicit statements, assigning anything you don't want or don't like to some cultural basis, teaching that it's all just a mystery, as if we can never really uncover what it is. Look like looking for a black cat in a dark room that's not in there. That's the attitude some have as they study the Bible. Friend, all of those kind of attitudes are going to prohibit people from seeing the Bible alike. And let's face it, many are irrational, having no reference to being mentally deranged, but the refusal to use logical approaches to the interpretation of Scripture. And even though it's absolutely necessary to use logic in understanding anything, for some reason, some want to set that all aside regarding the Bible. And alongside that is the obvious disdain some have toward authority, especially divine authority. Even though we're taught to have divine authority for what we believe and do, Colossians 3 and verse 17, some cry for what they call freedom in Christ, as if the freedom in Christ is the liberty to simply do your own thing. Well, these faulty ideas, these faulty doctrines, these faulty attitudes, they contribute toward people going to the Bible and coming away and going in different directions. We've got to put aside those things that are so irrational and so false and obviously contrary to everything that we can know in this world. Now, in our second lesson, we want to explore some more matters as to why people do not see the Bible alike. But let me close this lesson by contending with you, when we see it at all, we will see it alike. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.